Several years ago, I had the distinct privilege of being one of the deputies sent to General Convention by the Diocese of Central Pennsylvania. And it was at that General Convention, as the great crowd gathered daily for worship, one day Holy Eucharist was being celebrated. Of course, the presiding bishop was the celebrant of that liturgy, but all the liturgies, even though she was presiding at them, had different preachers. And this particular liturgy, there was a bishop who got up to preach. That bishop's name was Michael Curry, who was then the Bishop of North Carolina. Well, we know that name because we use it almost every weekend now as we pray for the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, because that's who it is. He's become our presiding bishop. On that particular day, we were celebrating, as the church does, one of the saints through history, and that particular day we were celebrating Harriet Beecher Stowe. And so Bishop Michael decided that he would give his sermon and he would focus on the life of Harriet Beecher Stowe and how she made a difference in the world. And this sermon, you know, when you describe it that way, sounds to be like a kind of a normal thing, until you hear him preach. This guy came up there and he started saying that, you know, anyone who needs to follow the path of Jesus, you know, after all, that's what he does teach us. He's saying that the church for a very long time has sort of focused on its institutional dimensions, and that Jesus didn't come to found an institution. He came to found a movement. And what is a movement but something that works in and out of the hearts and the minds of people? They all get of like mind and get a lot of their energy together and start doing things to make a difference. An institution is more concerned about making sure that all the buildings are taken care of, that all the doctrines are set down in writing, and then all of that is preserved for the next generation, perhaps. It's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But he was just reminding us that that's not what Jesus came to do. That's why he calls this movement the Jesus movement. And he says the Episcopal Church is simply the Episcopal branch of this great movement throughout the world, all the disciples of Jesus moving the work of the gospel forward. And he said to us that day, and this is the interesting part, he said to us, you know, all of the people like Harriet Beecher Stowe, the world would look at them and see what they're doing, and they would say they were a little crazy. And in fact, that has become Michael's byword along the way. It became his hallmark as he preached to the General Convention. He became very well known to the entire church when he said that all of us are called to be crazy Christians. Crazy Christians. He was telling us that really what we need to do is we need to be seen in the eyes of the world as a little touched in the head. That somehow we're acting out of the normal course of affairs. That somehow what we're doing, because we are these followers of Jesus, because we are part of this Jesus movement, that the world is going to look at what we do, what we think, and how we act, and start to say, they're nuts. That isn't the way. That isn't the way to success. That's not the way to get powerful. It's not the way to amass lots of money. It's not the way of the world. And that's exactly the point. And so in today's gospel lesson, we hear how Jesus' own family came to get him, because everybody was telling his mother and brothers and sisters that this son and brother of yours is a little touched in the head. He's a little crazy. He's trying to turn everything on its head, trying to turn everything upside down. Go get him, because it's not going to end well. Never ends well for crazy people. Well, they understood that, and so did Jesus. And so Jesus turned to the people around him. He said, yeah, my mother and brothers and sisters are outside. But who are my mother and brother and sisters? And he looked around at everybody. He says, everybody here who does the will of God, they are my mother and brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter what our bloodlines are. It's the fact that we have been called by God to do this great work, to preach and to work the kingdom of God out in the world, and to do so so that the world thinks we're a little touched in the head, that we're a little nuts, that we are indeed those crazy Christians. I had a kind of a personal experience of that, not so dramatic. You know, when I went to college, my intent was to become a physician. And so, all through high school, you know, science, math, the whole nine yards, and then got into college, and I was admitted to college as a chemistry major with a bio minor. I went to a liberal arts college, so they made you take things like history and English and those other things that are also important, but those were the courses that I really focused on, and that lasted all of about 2 semesters. By the time I came back as a sophomore, I was already having my doubts, and I went to talk to my faculty advisor, and I said, Dr. Calhoun, I think I don't want to study to be a physician anymore. He said, well, fine, you know, you're a good chemist, you know, you can be a research. I said, no, you don't get the point. That I think I want to go in a whole different direction. He was terribly disappointed, and so were a lot of other people, including my parents. Because boy, when I said I was going to be a doctor, they were right there. What you need to know is both my parents, by the time I got into college, were already beginning to enter declining health. And so they saw this as their ticket. Whether I was going to cure them or somehow I would cure somebody like them in the future, I would make a difference in the world. And so when I announced this to them, the long faces, they said to me, well, what do you think you're going to do? And I said, well, I want to be a lawyer. Okay, that'll work. You know, we'd rather have you be a doctor. I go, I know, but I want to be a lawyer. And so I went back to school and dutifully did all the things that you did in order to get yourself ready to enter law school. And they kind of got used to the idea because they figured, well, as a lawyer, he'll probably make enough money and do all the kinds of things he needs. He'll be somewhat successful in the world. Lord knows he has a big enough mouth to do that. And that was all fine. I sort of, you know, acquired that understanding and made peace with it. And then the bomb fell just about when I was starting my senior year and I came home and announced that I was not going to go to law school. Eyes rolled. Deep breaths were taken. Of course, the question was, are you going back to go to medical school now? No, I'm going to the seminary. You're what? Are you crazy? These were the words that were spoken. Now, I was a little crestfallen at that, because coming from a very culturally Catholic religious family, it, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, every family had to have a priest in it somewhere along the way, or that was sort of the ethos, the sense of things. And I was a little crestfallen that they didn't think that this was such a great idea. But if you know me at all, you know I'm a bit headstrong. And once I get an idea in my head, it's a little hard to get it out. So there I dutifully went to seminary, went through all seminary, and now when I look back at it, I think in their heart of hearts, they were still hoping, hope against hope, that I would wise up, that I would get smart, that I would get regular in my head, and I would see the foolishness of all of this. But I didn't. I was ordained. And it took a while. It took a while for my mom and my dad to get used to the fact that maybe, just maybe, I would be a decent priest. And that somehow this would all work out. Oh, I wasn't going to make all the money that they thought I'd make as a lawyer, and I wasn't going to cure everybody who had the kinds of illnesses they had as a physician. But after all, see, there it is. That's my parents up there. Shut up, David. You know, it's the kind of thing that, from the eyes of the world, I was doing a crazy thing. But somehow I was discerning with the help of others around me that this was God's call to me. That this was the will of God for me. And that God was fitting me out with all those other experiences to do this job and to do it well. That he was calling me into a place in his community and among his people so that I could be a crazy Christian. So that people could look at me and say, he could have been so good. What happened? Then I could say, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That's what was going on in Jesus' life as well. Jesus was turning the world on its head. He was saying that the world as you know it, no, that's not the way. But the ways of power and prestige, the ways that we heard in that first lesson about Israel wanting a king, they wanted to be like everybody else. And God kept saying to them, no, 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 it's not that way. But they insisted. They were a little headstrong too. And so God said, go ahead, have a king, you'll find out. They'll start taking taxes. They'll start taking your kids. They'll start doing all this stuff. And then you'll say, good Lord, what did we do? Maybe Bishop Michael is right. That God is calling us, Jesus is calling us to be Jesus' disciples. Not so that we can be seen as good in the eyes of the world, but rather that we can be seen as a bit touched in a head, a little nuts, a lot crazy. I mean, think about it. Who in their right mind, knowing human life, the physical life that we lead, and knows all the truths about birth and the experience of losing those we love so much to death, would believe that this man from Galilee, from Nazareth, rose from the dead all on his own? Who would believe that? Somebody who's crazy. With all the science knowledge that we have, with telescopes taking pictures of deep space, and we can see the birth of stars and their death, the cycles of the laws of nature all around us. And to believe that somehow this power greater than all of this made all of this to be as it is, if that's what you believe, you're a little touched in the head. You're a little nuts. You're a lot crazy. And if you believe somehow that the real answers to life are not in the accumulations of wealth and of power, not in the accumulations of strength and the ability to accomplish the things that this world values, but rather that we are willing to follow the pattern of our Lord and give up our very selves for the sake of another, maybe you're just a little crazy. You stop to think about it. These are the things Jesus calls us to do. These are the things that are the signs of our discipleship. These are the things that are the work of the Spirit in our hearts and minds and our lives. So in fact, if we truly believe them and we act on them, then the world will see us as crazy. That's what Bishop Michael was talking about. He was talking about Harriet Beecher Stowe and how she stood against the powers of the world in trying to work for the freedom of those who had been enslaved. How are we doing things like that? Are we looking at the world around us and saying, no, it shouldn't be that way? And I don't care what the political parties think, and I don't care what those in power demand. But I see the values of the gospel, I see the values that Jesus taught us, and this is the way we should go. And we order our lives and our families and even our communities according to those values. Oh, they will call you crazy, and they will come to take you away. My parents didn't call anybody to take me away. They just shook their heads and said, well, let's hope for the best. They're with God now, and I hope they're rejoicing, because that was their calling. That's the calling that each and every one of us has. And we answer that calling most fully when we pattern ourselves on the life of Jesus. And we are willing to say that it isn't about us. It's about everyone else. It isn't about me. It's about you. It isn't about where we need to be and how much power we need to amass and how much money we need in the bank. But rather, it's about making sure that the hungry eat, the thirsty drink, those without homes are sheltered, those who are oppressed by the values of this world are made whole again in the name of Jesus. That is a crazy idea. But that's what we are called to do. Are we the brothers and sisters and mother of Jesus? Will Jesus stand among us and say, my mother and brother and sisters might be outside, but all these people here that I see around me, that these people, they are my mother and my brother and my sisters, all because they do the will of God, they hear the word of God, and they do it. They act on it. They make it real. If that's what it takes, then yes, I'm a little crazy. Are you? Can you swallow that one? Can you be seen by the world as a little touched in the head, a little weird, a little off, a lot crazy? Because that's what it takes to be a disciple of Christ. That's what it takes to be part of this Jesus movement. That's what it takes to change the world in the name of the kingdom of God.